Halloween has become the second most celebrated holiday in America. Interesting. Only Christmas, in terms of marketing and spending and all the rest that goes with the holiday, Halloween is second. And I would say, for the most part, it's about costumes and candy and carved pumpkins. But we do know there's a darker side to Halloween. The fact is, the supernatural exists. I wrote a book about it called Unseen. Angels, demons, heaven and hell, and the struggle, the fight for eternity. Well, there is a dark side, and it's not fiction. It's not little goblins and ghouls dressed up. But there is a devil. He has demon spirits that serve him. They exist. They're supernatural. They are powerful. And we must always refrain and reject any preoccupation with evil in any form. It's foolish and even dangerous. We have a much better message on Halloween. It's called hope, that Jesus came and destroyed the works of darkness, that he overcame death and hell and the grave. Jesus is the only one who can give life and not death. Ours is a message of life, not death. And so we celebrate Halloween, not so much. Easter, yes, because Christ lives. And so this brings me to why I'm calling this scary message. Because the passage we're about to read in the book of James is one of, if not the most frightening passage in all of the Bible. Because it is possible to believe in God, to believe in Jesus, and to die and wake up in hell. It's possible. And it's frightening and terrifying to consider that a person could be in church or practice a certain religion and not have a real, genuine faith. So really this message is about saving faith, because not all faith is saving faith. And that's what we read in the book of James chapter 2. So beginning in James chapter 2 and beginning in verse 14, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? That is, a faith without works. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is D-E-A-D, dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works. And James says, I will show you my faith by my works, because of my faith and by my works. Verse 19, here's the scary part. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Now let's stop right there. This is a sobering, startling passage, shocking, really, passage of Scripture. That I could somehow say the right words, believe at least intellectually in all the right things, practice a right religion, traditions and rituals and all the rest, and not go to heaven, not be saved. Now, when I say saving faith, what does it mean to be saved? To be saved means that all your sins are forgiven, every one of them, past, present, and future. saved from our sin. It means that God, Jesus, lives in us, that we are alive in Christ, that His very presence possesses our lives. That's what it means to be saved. And it means to know for certain that when you die, or when Christ comes, that you will spend eternity with Him. That's what it means to be saved. And everybody needs to be saved. The whole world needs to be saved. And it is how we are saved that becomes the issue. And James is telling us that it's possible for you to say you're saved, think you're saved, and not be saved. Now, before we go any further, I want to make it absolutely clear that we are not saved by doing good works of any kind. Works don't get us to heaven. They don't even help to get us to heaven. Works follow us to heaven. Our lives count and what we do matters, but our good deeds, our efforts to gain heaven, we don't earn it, we don't deserve it. We're saved by the grace of God. James tells us that earlier in James 1:18 when he says, we are born again by the living word of God. Look at it, verse 18 of chapter 1. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. That is, we are birthed by the word of God. Of his own will, God graciously, lovingly brought us into his family. It was his work, his act, the finished work of Christ on the cross. We are saved not by our deeds, but by his deed. When he said, it is finished, paid in full, he accomplished it. He did it all. He did it all. Paul says this clearly in Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of what? Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Paul said in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. We are justified, saved by grace through faith alone, but the faith that saves, justifies, is never alone. And that's the point that James is making, that saving faith is a doing, working faith. Now, a great debate has ensued over the generations as to what James meant, and even denominations have been birthed and churches have split over the issue of faith and works. And some have wanted to make it this great debate, faith versus work, and personified Paul versus James. In other words, which is it? Are we saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, or are we saved by grace through faith that works alone? James and Paul are not debating. We watch these political debates. It's very interesting. And you see these candidates attacking each other, trying to get a leg up in the election. Well, Paul and James are not attacking each other when it comes to faith and works. They're not fighting each other face to face, but someone described it as James and Paul back to back, fighting different enemies. Paul is fighting legalism. Paul is fighting legalism, which says you have to keep the law, keep the commandments. Do all these things in order to be justified, in order to be saved. And it was the battle cry of the Apostle Paul, as well as the great Reformation, that we are justified by faith in Christ alone by his grace. James, on the other hand, is fighting a different kind of enemy. It's license. It's the attitude which says it doesn't matter how you live. You come to faith in Christ, you're saved by grace, you go from there. It doesn't matter whether you do good works or not. So James is fighting against this kind of license which says anything goes once you become a Christian. And here's another way looking at it. Paul is dealing with our vertical relationship with God, our relationship with God in justification, and James is looking at our horizontal relationship with God as we relate to people and relate our faith to people. It's the sanctifying side of our salvation. So both by faith and by works, we are saved. How so? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And I want to call upon you, everyone who's watching, everyone who's listening today, to take a look, an honest look at your life and your works and your faith and your deeds, and to see if you are a true believer. What is saving faith? Number one, saving faith is a laboring faith. Look again in chapter 2, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but he does not have works? Can that faith save him? That faith, a faith without works, can that save him? The answer is no. Here's someone who has a say-so faith, but not a show-so faith. Someone who professes faith, but does not possess Christ in their lives. And James says that kind of faith is faulty. It is foolish. It is futile. It is worthless. There are some who have faith and nothing to show for it. There's no fruit. There's no evidence. There's no proof. When people ask me if I can help them in knowing Christ and knowing salvation, knowing, having assurance that they have eternal life, I typically ask them two questions. Number one, do you know Christ? Do you believe in Christ? Do you know Christ? If the answer is yes, there's a follow-up. What is Christ doing in your life today? What is He doing in your life? Because if you say you have faith and never show it, never live it, James says, what good is that? The answer is nothing, absolutely nothing. Jesus changes life, and some people need to stop enduring religion and start enjoying salvation in Jesus Christ, because that's the kind of faith that labors for the Lord, lives for the Lord. People will walk up to you, students, and say, there's something different about you. What's changed in your life? What's happened to you? And you have to say something like, well, God's been good to me. God's grace is changing me. I have a new life in Christ. And if there's a difference in me, then praise God for what Christ has done in my life. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, everything becomes brand new. I'm not the same person that I used to be. I'm not there yet. I know I'm not there yet. But I'm on my way. I'm not what I used to be. Christ has changed and is changing my life. And now, therefore, I'm loving and I'm giving and I'm serving and I'm working. And I want my friends to know Christ, because something's so wonderful in my life, I can't keep it to myself. It's a laboring faith. It's what faith does. It loves. So, well, I'm waiting on the big opportunity. Don't. Do what's right in front of you. That's what James is saying. You walk up on somebody who has a need. Don't just pass by. Don't just say, God bless you, I'll pray for you. But God is putting someone at your doorstep. God is putting someone in your life. God is putting someone in your pathway that you might serve them and love them and help them in Jesus' name. That's the faith that saves, that is not alone. The works follow. In that same passage that I quoted earlier from Paul in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, remember, for by grace you're saved through faith, and not that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Do you know what verse 10 says? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Okay, theology lesson. Are you ready? Put your thinking cap on. I'm going to give you three simple prepositions. And if you can get these prepositions straight, your theology of salvation, faith and works will be straight. For by grace, through faith, unto good works. By grace, through faith. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense, God's gift. Faith is forsaking all, I trust him, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust him. By grace, through faith, unto good works. And if we can get that straight, we can make a difference in this world. After all, didn't Jesus say, when you clothe the naked, when you feed the hungry, when you give a drink to the thirsty, when you welcome the stranger, you have done it unto me. They said, how have we done that unto you, Lord? He said, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. You've served me by serving people. You love God by loving people. It's a loving faith. It's a laboring faith. But one final thing, it's a living faith. Look at verse 19. You believe God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Look at verse 26. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Now, James talks about two kinds of religion here. First of all, a devilish, demonic religion. This is why I thought of calling this message scary message. Because he says, do you believe in God? 94% of Americans say they believe in God. Okay? You believe in God. Congratulations. You've got the faith of a demon. Because the demons believe in God. The devil and all the hordes of hell, they're not atheists. They're not even agnostic. They're believers in God. They know God exists. They know God is one. If a demon, let's say a demon came forward today during our invitation and wanted to join the church. And so we say, do you believe in God? First of all, we say, what's your name? My name is Mr. Beelzebub. Okay, Mr. Beelzebub, do you believe in God? Absolutely, I know God exists. Do you believe in Jesus? No question about it. We're told in the New Testament that the demons, spirits, they confess Jesus as the Son of God. They said, Son of God, why are you tormenting us? They said, Jesus is the Holy One, the Messiah. So, Mr. Beelzebub, do you believe in Jesus? Absolutely. I've met Jesus. Oh. Do you believe he died on the cross? Oh, yeah, I was there. You believe he rose again? No question about it. I know Jesus is alive from the dead. Do you believe Jesus is coming again? Demons believe that. Oh, yes. Mr. Beelzebub says, absolutely, Jesus is coming again. You see, demons are orthodox. They're not heretical. They believe in all the creeds. And we would say, Mr. Beelzebub, you're going to make a great member of this church. Come right on in. You believe all the right things. But if we were probing a little more, we would say, Mr. Beelzebub, will you follow Jesus and give him your life? And he would say, no, 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 no. I play for the other team. I've already decided not to follow Jesus. Fact is, so many people have the faith of a demon. You ask them, do you believe in God? Oh yeah, I believe in God. Jesus, he's a good man, the best man. I believe in Jesus. I'm just not that into it though. I'm just not that committed. Really doesn't make that big difference in my life. I would be kind of a C student. I'm not shooting for A's. I'm not gonna make A's in Christianity. I'm a C with a few drops and a few incompletes. I'm pretty sure when I die, I'm going to go to the happy place. I'm going to go to a better place. Because after all, I'm not that bad. I'm better than a lot of people. So I'm not going to try harder. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to commit. I'm not going to love. I'm not going to serve. But I believe. James says, congratulations, you've got the faith of a devil. You know that passage? It says, the demons believe in God and they tremble. And it's a cool Greek word which means shudder or shake or shiver. It's like, you know, it's like, boo, and you shiver. Your hair, it means your hair standing on end. Your skin's crawling. It's actually akin to an English word which means to freak. The demons believe in God and freak out. That's what it means. But they're not saved. Why? Because their faith is dead, not alive. He gives two examples I don't have time to talk about, but he gives Abraham and Rahab, two polar opposites in the Old Testament. And yet both of them had saving faith in common. Do you know why? Because James tells us Abraham believed God and he was willing to sacrifice his own son, to lay Isaac on the altar. He was so in that he says, my faith in God means that I will follow him no matter what. And he laid his son, the son of promise, on the altar, and God spared the hand of judgment. And I've always said, God didn't want Isaac the son. He wanted Abraham the father. He wanted all of him. And then Rahab. She was living in Jericho, and when Israel was marching on Jericho, the spies came in, and she hid those spies. She lied to do it. You say, well, is that a good example? No. But she was a pagan. But she believed. And she risked it all. She risked her own life to identify with the children of God. And she was a believer, and she risked and put her faith in action. That's what faith does. It's a living faith. Otherwise, it's a dead faith. I love that story of those three old guys that were talking. Said, what do you want them to say at your funeral? They were having coffee one morning. What do you want them to say at your funeral? When they go by your casket, what are people going to say? And one guy said, well, I hope they say, well, he was a good husband. He was a good father. Second man said, well, I hope they say that, you know, he helped people and he was kind, that he was good. The other third guy didn't say a word. He said, what do you want people to say when they come by your casket? He said, well, frankly, I want them to look at me and say, he's moving. faith that is alive moves. It works. Otherwise, it's dead and meaningless. As long as you've got breath, you've got a purpose in your life. Serve Him. The book of James was written a long time ago, 2,000 years ago, to Christians who were dealing with serious, significant problems just as we face today. And the strong, direct words of James teach all believers how to truly live our faith in times of testing, in tough times. The Christian life isn't just about words, but works as well. It's about our conversations, our conduct, not simply our creeds, but our deeds. Visible faith is about the faith that saves and works. Visible faith is our gift to say thank you for your donation to help PowerPoint continue reaching out on this station with the life-changing truth of God's Word. So all you need to do is just call or click to give, and we will send you your book. Thank you for your generous support and for helping us broadcast the transforming message of the gospel till the whole world hears. Genuine, life-transforming faith in Jesus Christ is a laboring, a loving, and yes, a living faith. Now, how do we show that kind of faith in our daily lives? I'll tell you, we simply do it. We act. All the people of genuine faith in the Bible showed their faith by their actions. They didn't just say so, they showed so. So, what are you to do? You're to share your blessings, find a way to serve, volunteer for a ministry, get involved in your church and the ministry of Jesus Christ through His body, the church. Volunteer and go on a mission trip. Show grace and mercy to someone whose life is coming apart. Welcome a stranger in your office, in your neighborhood, or in your church. Comfort the dying, visit the sick. You see, this is how faith lives. Faith lives, faith labors, faith loves. God puts people in your life, in your path each day so you can serve them and love them in Jesus' name and help them know the Lord and His grace. That's a faith that lives. Part of expressing our faith is, of course, giving our lives, our talent, our time, and our treasure back to God. And when you give financially to PowerPoint, you can rest assured that you're meeting needs. People's greatest need is the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus. And PowerPoint is meeting needs by telling that story of Jesus again and again, teaching the Bible, helping people discover hope and life and comfort and strength in Christ every day. So thank you for investing in people's lives. Thank you for giving so that we can go with the gospel of Christ.